Welcome to the Independent School Show podcast series. Please enjoy and head to schoolshow.co.uk for more information.
On the panel today, we have James Weatherby, who is sitting right there. He is the senior deputy head of Fettes College. He has been at Fettes for almost 20 years, 15 years, 20 years? 16 years. So fully ensconced in boarding school environment, seen lots and lots of boys come through. We have Kate Reynolds, who is head of Royal High School Bath. So we have Scotland, Fettes College up there. We have Bath down the other end of the UK at the bottom. And Kate has been head since 2020. And we have Tom Beardmore Gray. Tom is the warden of Bradfield College, but also chief executive of the Prep Schools Trust. So lots and lots of experience across different kinds of schools, different kinds of boarding environments, and can bring that kind of perspective to today. End of the panel, we have, last but not least, Melanie Sanderson, one of my own, a Good Schools Guide education consultant. Apologies. Melanie is managing editor of the Good Schools Guide and looks after all of the reviews that we publish, and has been very instrumental in getting the boarding guide published with all the boarding school reviews. So any specific questions you have on boarding schools, you can give to Melanie down at our stand. So, Tom, back to you. Evolution of boarding. Can you explain a little bit to the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's fair to say that the boarding environment in the UK, most of the schools date back to the middle of the 19th century. And the model remained largely unchanged for about 120, 130 years until they were sort of all boarding schools, very little flexibility. You know, the pupils arrived at the beginning of term and left at the end of term. In the 1980s, things started to change when, you know, really due to parental pressure, parents no longer wanted that sort of education, and they started demanding more flexibility, more access to their children. So over the course of the last 40 years, I think there's been a very interesting evolution in boarding. There are still, you know, full boarding schools in the UK, but they are fewer in number. And most boarding schools in the UK are now a lot more flexible than they used to be. There's everything from what we term as flexi boarding, where children can elect to board a few days a week, even one day a week. That's particularly popular at prep school level, all the way to five-day boarding, or in some cases six-day boarding, where children, you know, nowadays more often than not will be going home on Saturday afternoon after games. And so, you know, between those models, there's all sorts of variations in between. So I think my advice to anyone looking at a boarding education in the UK for their child, you know, look carefully, because there are so many different connotations, different things on offer, and you need to find out what's right for you as a family, you as parents, and of course, most importantly, for the child.
Brilliant, thank you. I think what will be really interesting for the audience is for you to explain a little bit about the percentages of students in your schools who are full boarders, who are flexi boarders, and I know that a number of day students also feature. So would you be able to tell us a little bit more about that? Tom, you can start off.
Yeah, I mean, we've got five schools in our group. One of them is an all-boys boarding prep school. So that is the full boarding model where the children will be boarding six or even seven days a week. And then we've got three day schools in the group, and we've got a fifth school where there's flexi boarding and full boarding. So in terms, you know, in our group, which is 1,200 pupils, we've probably got 200 what I describe as full boarders, and then maybe another 100, 150 who are boarding on a more flexible basis, and then the rest of the day children.
Kate?
And we are similar in that we've got about 20% of boarders at the Royal High School in Bath. They come from 22 different countries. These are our full boarders, as well as about a third who are from the UK. And then added to that are all the flexi side that you were just talking about now, where we've got girls that'll come in once a week, twice a week. Saving that journey time seems to be one of the greatest pulls because they can get so much done in that extra time that they've got. So it's about 20%, 80% in Bath.
Thank you. James?
So at Fettes College, we are an English school in Scotland in terms of our qualifications, just in case that helps guide your direction. So we GCSEs, A-level, IB at Fettes. In the senior school, so we have a senior school and a prep school. Our senior school is 70% full boarding and 30% day students. And so in terms of full boarding, that is 6 days a week in terms of lessons and then on weekends as well. So those students are staying with us over the weekend. They are with us 7 days a week throughout term time. So, for example, on a Saturday evening last night, the school would have been dancing to a Scottish ceilidh, playing football out in our football fields in an organised event. Today, they'll be walking up to Murrayfield to watch Scotland play New Zealand in the rugby. So it's very much a full boarding school in our senior school. In our prep school, there is more options in terms of you can look at less than the full boarding. You can talk about doing some, I suppose, semi-boarding throughout the course of the week in order to make up your mind before you then feed into the senior school, where you will either choose to be a full boarder or come to school as a day student. I will say, as a day student, you are still, many of our day students are still attending all the events that the full boarders are doing. So last night, day students could have been there, and many, many, many will have been there, joining in with the dancing and all the events which are taking place.
Brilliant, thank you. And Mel, with the move away from all boarding schools offering only full boarding and flexi being so popular and so many boarding schools having so many day students, what do parents need to be thinking about when they're looking at boarding options and they're looking at the vast, you know, range of different schools that have different setups and different student cohorts doing different amounts of boarding?
Well, I think that's a really important consideration when parents are choosing a boarding school, because of course you never want your child to be the one that's left in at the weekend when everyone else has gone home. And it's a really important question to ask when you're making the choice, to find out exactly whether the school fits your needs. So if you are a parent very much looking for flexi boarding, of course you don't want your child to be the only one that's possibly missing out on everyone else staying. And vice versa, if you are looking for a full boarding school for your child, you don't want them to be left alone at the weekend. Or you need to be asking questions like, what will my child be doing at 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon? And if you're met with a blank face, then you need to go and look somewhere else, frankly. So it's very much about asking all the right questions to make sure that the school fits your needs. So I wouldn't take anything for granted. Don't assume, because it's a boarding school, that there'll be all the meals and all the activities laid on every single weekend, because of course most schools cater for the majority. So it's very, very important to find out exactly what the majority of the cohort are doing.
Thank you. Just again, sticking on the kind of students who are in these boarding schools and what they're doing, are they day, are they flexi, are they boarding? And I understand that a lot of students can jump around perhaps and try different things. As you said, James, you've got students who might be doing part-time and then they might have the option of going full. So, you know, boarding has evolved to be able to suit the needs of the family and of the child. But in terms of the international percentage of international students at boarding schools now, Tom, can you kick us off, talk a little bit more about the percentage of international students who are coming in to boarding schools in the UK, and are they taking over these boarding school places?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no doubt that UK boarding schools are, are very highly thought of in many parts of the world. And so I think, you know, the UK has got a very strong brand for boarding education. And there have been, you know, families wanting to send their child to UK boarding schools for, you know, for many, many years, and they're still arriving in this country in some numbers. I mean, in our boarding schools, we have many international families. We're very proud of that, and I think we're able to cater because we are full. You know, we have a full boarding provision. We're able to cater for those pupils very well. But if you do have international pupils, of course, they're not going to be leaving at the weekend. And so, as Melanie was saying, you need to be able to provide a very good provision 7 days a week in order to cater for those pupils. Are they taking over? They shouldn't be. I think with any thriving school in the UK, there should be a very strong demand in the UK for that school. So I think, you know, from a diversity point of view, it's tremendous to have, you know, 70 or 80% of your pupils UK-based. Of course, the international pupils, maybe the other 20, 25%, will add a great deal in terms of the cultural diversity of the school and are a real asset to the school.
Brilliant. Kate?
I'd say exactly the same. I think that that diversity is actually really important, and it's the strength of boarding. As I mentioned, with 22 different nationalities that we have, the girls really learn about other cultures, about others' values, about others' interests, because they become friends. So it's no longer something they're studying, it's actually something they're living. And a lot of our parents actively choose that because they realise their daughter's going on to do jobs which are global. And when you've got alumni, when you've got connections in other countries that are meaningful because you were friends at school, that's just one more thing you're looking at when you choose a boarding school. So I think it is a huge positive. And I think it did suffer during COVID when schools very much had to shut down. And it's very much opening up again now. And is another possibly unintended consequence of boarding that UK parents are not so aware of. It's a huge benefit for your children to get to know so many different cultures day to day.
Brilliant. And also for your day students as well, to have that international environment. Brilliant. James, any thoughts?
Yeah, I echo all those comments. We are, in Fetties, we are 25% international, including, that includes Brits perhaps living abroad who send their children back to go to school at Fetties. And it really is, I mean, the world is a small place, and it's the global community, and the skills and the people that you meet through coming to boarding school is just unparalleled. It's a tremendous opportunity, and I think it's a terrific place for children to be educated and to grow up in a boarding school.
Thank you. And Mel, having been to so many schools and seen them from the inside, what's your take on the numbers of international students in boarding schools today?
Yeah, I would just echo what the rest of the panel has said. Part of the offering that you're buying into is very much an international community. And I think, as you say, the world is a very small place. Our children are very likely to be operating, working in global organisations, so it can only be a huge benefit.
So we're going to talk a little bit about entry points now. So when is the best time for your child to start to board? How might you ease them into it? Do they need to go to a prep school to get into a boarding school and to feel comfortable there? So I'd like to hear each of your perspectives on that. So entry points, what are the best times to think about it? When to start? Tom?
Well, I mean, I think there are lots of options, and and this all comes back to the child, actually, what's right for the individual child. I mean, I think it's fair to say that demand for boarding, certainly, you know, 5 day or full boarding under the age of 11 in the UK has been contracting for quite a while. There are still schools that do that, and we do that, and we do it very well. But the demand is limited. I think demand starts to pick up around the age of 10 or 11. Certainly if children are going to a boarding senior school, it's good to get some experience of boarding at prep school level, and that can be done on a flexible basis at a prep school from the age of 10 and 11, maybe, you know, maybe 3-4 days a week in some cases. And then, you know, again, it's not absolutely necessary to board at prep school before going to a boarding senior school. Some families will choose to go to a day prep school and send their child into a boarding environment at 13 or even at A level at 16. So there are lots of different options.
Great. I would say another thing to consider as well is when you as parents are ready for your children to board. From my experience, children, once they realize what boarding entails, you know, they're with their friends, they've got that lovely structure, all the benefits, they're keen to board. And I think it's often us as parents who are not quite ready for it. So you need to take that into consideration as well and find out as much as you can about the environment from your child's perspective. I think a lot of us have our own experiences of boarding, or we've read the books, or we've seen the films. It's very different nowadays. So it's really important, as you were saying, to visit the school, to get under the skin, to ask the questions, to understand when the main entry points are for the school. And for example, at the Royal High School, we have a lot of girls that join us at sixth form because it's their step to university. They can cook, they can do their own washing. A lot of them have part-time jobs in Bath. It really is that stepping stone. So find out what the school's offering, but also think, when are you ready for your child to have that independence? And when we're thinking London, a lot of that is going to be the travel. If we're thinking of flexi or weekly boarding, you know, that journey on the train, when are they ready to do that hour and a half or whatever it takes? And you'll be surprised how independent our children are nowadays and how soon they are ready, provided you are as well.
Brilliant, thank you. James, can you take us through the entry points at Fetties and what you experience in terms of what works?
Yes, absolutely. So, following on from what I've just heard as well, absolutely. When the time and the place is right for your children, then you can join Fetties at different times. You can come to our prep school, and we have boarding from the age of 7. Now, I fully understand that there are very few boarders at that age, and as you come through our prep school, the majority of people who are boarding in our prep school are 10 plus. In order, some of them join at that point so they can board for a couple of years prior to coming on through our prep school and then coming straight on into our senior school, where the boarding percentages increase. As I said, we're over 70% boarding in our senior school, so we have 430 boarders in our senior school, who are all full boarders. You can do the 11, we have an 11 plus program where you can join our prep school, and those assessments are taking place in the February. Or you can come through 13 years of age, 13 plus, which again comes after the Christmas in the January, February of, say, 2023. We'd be looking to do the assessments to come on board and join in third form, which is the start of our senior years. We have a few, again, subject to space, probably less and less who are now looking to join. Once upon a time, I would say, we had people join at third form, 13 years of age, and then a couple would join at fourth form, which is the start of the GCSE years. But actually, we have less people doing that these days, mostly joining at 13, because you are actually covering GCSE content at that point. And then we have another group who are joining at sixth form to do those last 2 years. And at Fetties, when you join in sixth form, you can either branch and take on the IB or you can take on the A-levels. And the IB, of course, is another big attraction for coming to us in the sixth form and do those 2 years before then you move on to university. So that's the key years.
Thank you. Mel, anything to add?
The only thing that I would really add to the mix, and I'm sort of picking up a little bit on what you said, Kate, about the parents needing to be ready. I think nowadays there's much less of a sense of children being sent to boarding school and more of a sense of them being allowed to go. And I think that impetus and that desire to go should always ideally come from the child. And the other thing that I just wanted to say from an admissions point of view which we get a lot of people coming to our consultancy who have possibly left it a bit too late for the 13 plus entry point. So at schools, particularly like Bradfield College, which is very popular, boarding school in the south of England, we're talking about assessment days in year six for entry in year nine. And that is very, very uniform with the most popular schools in England, and particularly in the southeast. There's very, very little flexibility about that, around that. So if you are thinking about entry to a boarding school in year nine, please start the conversations really early, probably in year five, to make sure that you don't miss any registration or assessment deadlines.
Brilliant, thank you. So that brings me on to the question that probably all parents have who are considering boarding for their child. How does a parent know that the student is going to thrive, that their child, their precious child, is going to thrive in a boarding environment before they've had a chance to try it out? Some parents need to choose boarding for practical reasons and don't necessarily have a choice. And so how would you advise parents who are wondering whether boarding would suit their child? Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you visit any boarding school, it's really important to meet a very wide cross-section of people in that school, including the pupils. And in many ways, sometimes the most valuable insights that you can get into a school are from the pupils. You know, if you're shown around by pupils, they're very, very candid about what it's like, what's good, what's not so good. So I would really recommend that. I would focus a lot on asking probing questions about the pastoral care. And I think it's fair to say that all boarding environments now in the UK over the course of the last 30 or 40 years have developed their systems of pastoral care really extensively. I think the environment looks totally different to 30 or 40 years ago. But you still need to assure yourselves that that there are going to be multiple people in the school keeping an eye on your child's own development. Clearly, the housemaster or housemistress is absolutely crucial, but there should be other people as well, tutors, matrons. And you want to meet all those people and talk to them and understand how they monitor the progress of boarding pupils.
On that topic, Tom, would you be able to elaborate? Have you seen any development of pastoral care within boarding over the last kind of decade or so?
I mean, I think a lot. I mean, I think the regulatory environment for all schools, but for boarding schools in particular, has demanded, for safeguarding reasons, that the standards of pastoral care have to be very, very high. And so it's not just parents that are demanding that. It's the government and the Independent Schools Inspectorate that's demanding it as well.
Brilliant, thank you. Kate, any advice for parents who are considering boarding for their child?
Again, I would echo what you've just heard. I think boarding taster sessions are also a really good idea if the school offers it, for your child to go and spend a night or two there to actually feel what's it like to wake up in another room, what's breakfast like, what happens in the evening. So it's very different to hear these things to actually trying them yourself. So I'd really recommend that. And I think the other thing that I would give reassurance-wise on the thriving front is remember that boarding staff are absolute experts at what they're doing. So when I have parents come to me saying, I'm worried about girls together, sometimes they don't get on. It's like, that's fine. We've seen it all before. Our job as the experts is to help them overcome that and to learn how to get on well with each other, how to collaborate. So in a way, we're working with you as parents to ensure that your children do thrive. And in my experience, they always do. Some immediately, some it can take a little bit longer. But if you're guided by the school, who are the experts, generally children absolutely love the boarding and they pick up all those extra skills as a result of it as well.
Thank you. James?
Yeah, absolutely. Find out when the open day is for the school that you were thinking of. You wouldn't buy a house without visiting that house, walking around inside it, getting a feel for it. same thing is true for the education for your children. Find out when the open day is, or you don't have to wait for the open day, but certainly on the open day you can go through all the doors and all the parts of the school. You can speak to parents. At Fetty's, we have parents there as well who you can talk to and ask how they found the school. You can meet with the students, as we've just discussed. Meet with the students who are already there, see how they're finding the school. If it's not open day, just get in touch. Come along. If for Fetty's, come along. You can come and meet all the house parents. You can come and do tours of the boarding houses. You can meet the students who will take you on a tour of the school. Ask those questions. What happens? Talk me through a day in the school. What are they doing on the weekends? What happens of an evening? The structure of the school. How are they spending their life? Who's looking out for them? It is. Boarding schools have evolved tremendously over the years. They are such close-knit, inclusive communities. And Kate makes the point. You know, one of the skills of living in a boarding community is that interaction that they'll have with other students, living through those teenage years with other teenagers who are going through that same part of their life, who are guided on that journey with experts in that field of helping them through that phase in their life. It really is a key time that they can absolutely thrive in a boarding environment.
Brilliant, thank you. And Mel, any advice finally?
The only thing that I would add to it is that with all children, regardless of their age, particularly when they're away from home, there will be times when things go wrong and there will be times when they miss home and they're unhappy. And that's obviously a natural part of making the transition into a boarding environment and separating from the parents. And I think it's really important for parents to understand and ask the question when they are visiting the school, you know, when things go wrong, who does my child talk to? Who do I talk to? You know, how does it work when a child is having a problem? How does it work when issues arise? And just make sure that the school is able to give you really clear guidance on how they deal with, you know, it could be a really small problem, just like a friendship issue, or it could be a major psychological drama. So very, very important to ask questions when you're selecting your school and make sure that the answers you get are really clear. Because a lot of schools now have in-house psychologists, they have peer listening services, they have mentorship programs. You know, they are really well set up now to put safety nets under each and every child, but they need, as a parent, you definitely need to have comfort that when something, and it's not necessarily an if, it is a when, something happens that is not perhaps what your child was hoping for, it can just be picked up and dealt with, and the child can move on positively.
Brilliant, thank you. And on that topic, what kind of level of communication should a parent expect for, around their child? Obviously, if something were to go wrong, you'd expect that to be communicated. But what kind of other level of communication in terms of how the child is faring, et cetera, should be expected by parents? To anyone on the panel, if anyone wants to answer that.
So when your child were to join Fetty's, we would expect that the house parents who are living in the same building as your children, if there are boarders, would be in touch quite quickly within the first 48 hours, 72 hours, just to be in touch, just to let you know how that phase had gone, how they've settled in, who they've met with. You'll also be able to see pictures of them on social media sites, the school Twitter feed, those sorts of things, to see the sort of things that are happening. And then pretty regularly, you'll get, I mean, in all schools, you'll find this the reporting processes are in place. But house parents, we always say to parents, the house parents whose children are at Fetty's, that the house parents are not strangers. It's important that you develop a really close working relationship with the house parents of your children. If you have any doubts, any worries at any point, pick up the phone, email, because we want you to do that. We don't want you to sit at home and thinking, I've got doubts, I've got worries, I've had a phone call. Given the nature of communication these days, if your child has phoned you and they have had a tough day, something, then pick up the phone, email, and house parents are there to be talking to you and letting you know exactly what's been happening and how your children are getting on.
I can add to that examples that we see quite often where a child will contact mom or dad and say, oh, this has happened in a test, and they're really upset. So then you're really upset. Phone the school immediately, because what you'll often find is a house parent will go, oh, I last saw them running out to play hockey. Massive smile on their face. They've moved on, but I'll check they're okay and get back to you. And you just need that reassurance, really. Again, house parents know exactly what they're doing. They're the experts. They're in loco parentis, but their only job is to look after your children. So the level of care is exceptional, and it's up to you as a parent to have the contact you feel you need in addition to everything that the school will be telling you.
Thank you. Incredibly comforting words. We're going to finish up there in terms of questions from me. I'm really keen to hear questions from the audience on boarding in general. If anyone has a question that's relating to their particular situation, their particular child, any questions from the audience in general on boarding?
What we can expect from pastoral care, how is it works, for me is completely new.
That's a good question. So how is it different in a way in a boarding school? And I think the obvious difference is because boarding is 24/7, the care is there all around the clock. And I think the bonus is the time. Because in a boarding school in an evening, you know, once they've done their prep, their activities, had their supper, there is that time to really be watching the boys, the girls, students, and seeing how they're feeling, how they're getting on. And a good school, a good boarding school, will pick up things even if the child hasn't told them, and will be in touch with you. So it's that round the clock, if something doesn't seem right, getting in touch with a parent. But again, as we said earlier, if you know that something isn't right, getting in touch with the school as well. Communication is so easy now.
Every boarding school. So when you were to take your child to a school, the questions that you should be asking are, who's looking out for my children, my child? Who's what, you know, what's the structure like in the boarding house? How many students are going to be in that boarding house? Who is their house parent? Who else is living in that house? For example, at Fetty's, we will have an assistant house parent living in the same boarding house, and house parents, and a matron, who are all living in the same boarding house as the children are living in that boarding house. So of an evening, you will have up to, plus tutors, so members of staff, who are all attached to boarding houses. So on any given night of the week, you can have 4 and 5 adults all in that boarding house, mingling, checking the students are okay, helping them with their prep, seeing what they've been doing that day, watching as they leave the house, perhaps after prep, and go out and kick a football around, asking them questions about, you know, have, you know, what were you doing today, keeping an eye on their friendship groups. That's pastoral care. And then if there's any concerns, if it's been a tough day, getting back on the phone to you, dropping you an email just to say, this has happened today, this is what we're doing as a consequence, those sort of things. That's the pastoral care. Ask about the medical care facilities. At Fetty's, we have a 24-hour-a-day medical centre. So we have nurses who are there all through the night. So if your son or daughter is out playing football of an evening and were to hurt themselves, they can go to the medical centre that night and spend the night there under watchful guidance of a professional. So all house parents in every boarding school in the country will be trained. They will do CPD courses. They'll be learning about mental health. They'll be learning about nutrition. They'll be learning about all these areas of pastoral care. So when you take your children to boarding schools, you are entrusting them with experts in the field of pastoral care.
Thank you so much for a very informative discussion. I have a bit of a maybe vague question. I work with students who are in boarding schools, and I hear such different feedback as to what some people like, what some people don't like. So is there some kind of a... The combination of services for boarding which has proved most beneficial? It's probably a question to somebody who has the overview of a market. Like, if you're comparing several schools and, like, all are fine academically, but different boarding options, so what works best? Like, pupils sharing or not sharing, mobile phones being taken away or they're allowed to keep, a lot of freedom allowed as to just going into town, or you have to confirm with house master or guardians, have to always authorize any absence. Which has proved to work best to keep the children happy and not feel like they're too confined, too restricted? Like if we're choosing between different schools which offer these different options, so which has proved with experience like to be the best for the kids?
I would say that the question is, each child is going to be different and each school is going to offer something different. So I imagine that our panelists will say that it depends on the child, and the different options are there because different schools do it differently. But really keen to hear if you have any insight into, you know, there's not necessarily a best option, but...
It's a very good question. I mean, I think it entirely depends on the situation of the school. I mean, a city school will have very different procedures for the pupils compared to a school in the middle of the country. I think that the sort of more important issue actually is how busy the children are in a boarding environment outside the classroom, because the real benefit of boarding is that you can have all the advantages of the extracurricular offer of the school, and we're so privileged with our boarding schools in the UK. They're all, almost without exception, on beautiful estates with wonderful facilities that children can access once their school day in the classroom is finished, and that's really one of the main benefits of a boarding school environment. So the question I think that parents need to be asking, when they go around different schools, is what will their children be doing during the period between 4 o'clock in the afternoon and bedtime, to make sure that they're taking full advantage of everything that's on offer.
Brilliant. Mel?
Yes. Yeah, and I think you, as a parent, you need to decide what's important to you. So for some parents, the mobile phone policy may be right at the top of the list of important things. For other parents, it might be less important. They might be more concerned about the food. So I think it's really important to just have a really comprehensive list of questions that you want to ask when you visit these schools, and very quickly your priorities will become apparent and you will be able to sort of rank your preferences in order. But there are multiple resources out there for parents to look at. You know, you can look at the ISI reports, you can look at the Good Schools Guide reviews, the schools' websites and their own marketing material, their social media feeds, for example, as you said earlier, Tom, are just so comprehensive nowadays. So I think you can get a really good feel before you even visit a school for the kinds of questions that you want to ask when you get there.
Can I just add that I think the key thing is values. Does the school's values reflect your values as a family? Added to that, experience shows that actually once a child is in a boarding school, they know the rules, they're absolutely fine with them. And so some of those tussles you have as a family when you're talking about mobile phones, can you go into town, all that sorts of things, doesn't happen, because they know this is how we do things here. So I think as long as your values at the beginning align with the school's values, then that school will work for you and for your child.
Any final thoughts from any of the panelists?
I'd just encourage you to have a look at boarding. It's really not like it used to be. When we were thinking back to how it used to be in the old days, I think it was 26 years ago I first went into boarding school. I wasn't the housemaster. My husband was. He was handed a cane. They weren't still used, but there was still one in the house. And it was the prefects who ran the house. That was quickly changed. But things have come on hugely in 25, 26 years. So please go and have a look, because it really is an amazing experience for children.
Brilliant. Very interesting to hear. Super. Well, thank you so much to all of our panelists. It's been fantastic to get your insight. Thank you so much to the audience. Thank you so much to all our panelists again, and have a great day at the fair, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed that episode. Thanks for listening. Please head to schoolsshow.co.uk to check out our other recordings.